And believe in the Lord that this series, this Galatians series, is ministering to your life. That's the whole point of us taking our time to go through this. It's going to be, it's a value to us. I'm going to point out something. I didn't have this originally in what we would do it this morning, but I'm going to have Philip pull up something here in just a little bit. I'll remind him to go to it if I remember. I want you to know that, just mark, I tell you what, are you there, Phil? Put on your note 753 slot. It's out of order. It's not going to be in order. We'll just go where we're going to start today. 753, I want you to go to that in just a little bit. Well, at some point here, we have a lot to talk about. Well, we've been talking about the Brit Hadishah and dealing with this subject. I think it's important. We'll start at 780 today. I covered some of this last night, but I wasn't able to, you know, this subject right here is going to take some time. We're going to have to take today, maybe next Saturday and the Sunday after that to cover all of it, to get it all in. So back up one. We'll get started right here. Just back up one more. There we go. The Brit Hadishah, the New Covenant components. Now, we talked about location changed. Just for that, if you drop down to 782, let me point this out. I tried to get these in order. Well, under the Old Covenant, he was given the Torah. That's the commandments. We covered all of this. The mediator was Moses. Where the Torah and God's presence dwelt was in the temple and the tabernacle. The priesthood was the Aaronic priesthood. And then, of course, dealing with the sacrifices that had to be made. They couldn't just say, well, we're not going to do the sacrifices. They had to make them. That's under the Old Covenant. Now, under that Old Covenant, it represents, and we're dealing with Galatians 4 and looking at how he says there's two covenants. And Abraham is two wives. Now, some may argue the point on the two wives because he had a child with Hagar. Well, you can argue all you want. God says that was his wife. She might have been the handmaiden. Sarah said, have my handmaiden bear the child. But once they were together, that's his wife. So he has a son with Hagar. Go to that slide, Phil, which is the one right by. And they have a son named Ishmael. And in Galatians 4, it says it's in bondage, or it genders to bondage. It's not free. And it's a product of the flesh. It's what man can do for himself. So it's outside of God. And man is trying to bring about the promise of God. How many know God brings about his own promise? And so sometimes you have to wait. So what do? When you're waiting, you have faith. Remember, the transition from old covenant to new, you have to have faith to do that. That's the transitioning power. I'm going to trust that God knows what he's doing. How many know sometimes in life we think we know better than God? So I would never do that. We all have. We do things and start things and come up with ideas and never even ask him. That's thinking you're better. As a believer, we don't do those things. We go to the Lord and say, God, what do you want for my life? Where do you want me to do? Who do you want me to be in relationship with? Where's my place to live? Where's my work? You ask him. And what does he do? He leads you in those paths. Sometimes it's not what you want. But if you trusted God, he knows what's best for us because he knows what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't. We can guess. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know if your life will still be here tomorrow. That's why he says, don't put a lot of weight in tomorrow. Do what you can do today, for the night comes and it's over. That night represents that we go to sleep. Well, thank God we woke up this morning. Amen? There's some folks didn't wake this morning. They died in their sleep. Thank God it wasn't none of us. But it happens. There's a big old world with a lot of people in it, and things like that happen all the time. Sometimes it's not immediately directly related to us, so we kind of lose sight that that's a reality that takes place every day. People are born, people die. Every day this happens. It happens in just moments. While we're talking, it's going to be a lot of that going on around the world. But how many know God has to be in tune with all of that? He's not just taking care of me. He's trying to tend to the whole world. Sometimes we lose sight that it's just us here. There's a lot of people in this world, and he sent that same Savior that he sent to save us. He sent for the whole world. For God so loved the world. There's a lot going on. Well, what he wants us to do is make sure that we understand what's happening. Well, this Abraham, he's going to say, well, I'm going to assist the Lord here, bring about this change. I've got to have a son. And he has this child with Hagar. And so what I want you to see is that even though in our life we decide to do things, the grace of God is so amazing. Before Abraham decided to do what he did here, God had already fixed what he was going to do wrong. It was already set in place. Because last night we left off, if there's a change in priesthood, there's also a change in the law. That's some very bold statement. And we're going to look at that. We're going to go deep into that today. So then after this, Ishmael is born and it leads to bondage. Sarah has a son. Hebrews puts it this way. Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. That's a very powerful statement. Now, that's in the faith chapter. Remember, it says, talking about faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It goes on, talks about the faith fathers and all those who trusted God. And there came a point in Sarah's life, she had to come to that same realization. Am I going to step over? Am I going to look at me, who can't get this done? Am I going to look at my husband, who can't get this done? Or I'm going to look at God, who can do all things? So when she decided, she said, I'm going to look at God. Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Very powerful statement there in Hebrews. What happens? She conceives, has a son named Isaac. Well, before she had this son, a year before that, the angel of the Lord came and said, your wife's going to have a son. You're going to name him Isaac. Now, she had to come to that realization, but God already knew it. There's a big difference between what God knows and what we have to come to realize. Big, big difference. And when folks come to realize what he's done for them, it'll change your life. It absolutely is life-changing when you realize what God has done for you. That's what I want to talk about today on this priesthood change. So we learn this under the new covenant. Go to my start slide, the Brit Hadishah, and then I'm sorry for mixing this up, but as I was singing, I thought of these thoughts, and so I wanted to put that out there. Now, the Brit Hadishah, under this new covenant, the components. Number one, we learned the location change. Where was the location under the old covenant? Temples and tabernacles. Now the location is where? In the heart. How many see God is about to get very up and personal with you? That was his intention from the very beginning. You notice he didn't send angels to make man. He made man in his own image, in his own likeness. God wants to be up close and personal with us. That way when you do sing the song, even now, you feel that presence. That's not something that comes from way over yonder. It's right here. It's you getting to realize that the location is changed. He don't dwell in temples and tabernacles. Torah is not on tablets of stone. It's written on the fleshly tables of our heart with the very Spirit of God. How amazing is that? He's getting closer to us. And we have to understand that principle. It's not you come here and you can feel him because you're here. He wants you to know wherever you are, You can be here, you can be on a job, you can be on a boat, you can be riding a car, you can be doing whatever you want. He wants you to know that he's there with you. Location has changed. Number two, the mediator has changed. Under the old covenant was Moses, Moshe. He was the one, that mediator. He was the one, the spokesman. He was speaking to God on behalf of the people and speaking to the people on the behalf of God. That was the deal. He was a mediator. Under the new covenant, that mediator is Yeshua. It's a better covenant. Moses' relationship to God would bring about the direct result of how that communication would happen. Very important. And a little bit later in this, I'll share a slide with you on the priest's office and what does that mean to us. And you know, I'm still, while I'm doing this whole series, I'm wrestling with the scripture back and forth on what God dealt with me concerning intimacy. Remember, we had that little pause and we introduced that. It's all over this thing. All over it. You can't get around it. The third thing, we dealt with that last night. So if you didn't get any on the mediator, it'll be on the tape. I think it was last night we went into some of that. And again, there's so much. This is not me dealing with every verse dealing with the mediator. I'm just put out some of them so you'll see it. Especially in Timothy when he says, we have one Elohim, one, and one mediator between man and God. It's the man Christ Jesus. It's him. And so that was the difference in what's under the old and under the new. And we're going to see how important. Now, these two, one, two and three kind of come together and blend as we go through this. And I'll reference both of them. The third thing is we introduced it last night. We're going to continue completely throughout this whole service, not finishing it, but we'll get through most of this. And that the priesthood changed. Under the old covenant, it was the Aaronic priesthood. And you had to be born in that family. If you weren't born in that family, you were never going to be a priest unto the Most High. You were not going to be especially a high priest. Not going to happen. You had to be born in that. It had to be in your bloodline. Your DNA had to be that signature piece where God selected the Levite to be in those positions. But under the new covenant, the priesthood changed. There's a change that happens. And he says that priest would come after the order of Melchizedek. Okay, and I told you I'd give you some terms to help with that, so we're going to go. So I'm going to do, this will be some review, because I covered some of this last night, but we're going to move right along best we can. Psalms 110, verse number 1. Let's look at it again. We looked at it a little bit last night. Yahweh said unto my sovereign. Now notice the speaker, this is a psalm of David. A psalm of David. So he's the writer, he's the speaker here, and he says, Yahweh. Yod Heh Vav Heh, the Tetragrammaton, he says, Yahweh, clear terms here. If you got a King James authorized version, that L-O-R-D is going to be all caps in that Bible. Then it'll change and it says, said unto my Lord, L-O-R-D, lowercase. That's not a good way to try to translate because that it can get lost in translations, in which it has. So here's a better one. It says, Yahweh, that's clear. We know who's speaking. Said, Yahweh said unto my sovereign. Now, David declares that this Lord is his what? Sovereign. He said, puts it this way, you can understand it this way, Adonai says to Adoni. There's been a big issue there with understanding those two different terms used there. But this way will help us. Said to my sovereign, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemy, until I make thy enemy thy footstool. Yahweh shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Send it from where? Out of Zion. Where's the old covenant under? The old covenant is on the Mount Sinai. That's where they received it, so we changed that. He's going to tell us that later on. Rule thou in the midst of thy enemy. Thy people shall be willing in the days of thy power, in the beauty of holiness, From the womb of the morning thou hast the dew of thy youth. Verse 4. Yahweh had sworn, we're going to deal with that when he swears. We'll look at that a little bit more later on. And will not repent. He swore and will not repent. So he sets this in position. Now we Psalms 110 here, but we're going to go back to Genesis 14. But he's as a reminder, kind of a reflection. Does not forget what Yahweh said. Let's not forget, David is reminding us here. Yahweh has sworn and will not repent. Thou art, who we're talking about, when he says thou art, we're talking about Yeshua, a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. There's a priesthood change. This priesthood is changing from the old covenant under Aaron, under the new covenant under Melchizedek. Now, this Melchizedek, he's kind of a mystery man. He's not there, and then he's there. So it says, without father, without mother, without beginning of days, without end of days. Talks about that. Well, some will take those scriptures and say, well, that has to be talking about Messiah. No, it says he's like the Son of God. Not the Son of God, like the Son of God. That helps me right there. And, of course, the entirety of Scripture tells us that's not so. And if you believe in that he is God, then why would God be a high priest to God? That doesn't make sense to me. And that's what happens when you take verses and you just try to build something rather than taking the entirety of Scripture. So today we're going to look at these things. Now he's going to be a priest after the order of Melchizedek. We're going to look at what that represents. In Hebrews chapter 6, I didn't read these last night. But I want to read them today because I want to start out making sure we give you as many scriptures as possible. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13 says, for when Elohim made promise to Abraham. Now we're going back. This is back in Genesis. Because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself saying, surely blessings I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. Speaking of Abraham. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Patiently endured. Boy, that's a virtue we can all use. Amen? Most of the time we get ourselves in troubles because we don't know how to patiently endure. You know, when we want it was yesterday. That's when we want it. God says we might have to wait a little while. While we're waiting, we figure we're going to go ahead and help God. We get us a Hagar and have an Ishmael, and we got all kinds of problems. So God rejects that because it's a product of the flesh. He says, no, I made a promise to you. You're going to have it. It's coming. Can you see how the handiwork of God has been instituted to help us? He don't mind us doing whatever we want. That's why he gave us our own brain. We think whatever we want. You can think, you know what? You can be happy today if you want to. That's the truth. Or you can be sad. It's got nothing to do with your condition. It's everything to do with what your brain's telling you you're going to be today. But you can wake up and say, you know what? I don't have everything I want. My conditions aren't ideal, but I'm going to be happy today. I'm going to be happy for what I do have. Number one, it's your breath in my lungs. I'm glad for that. I don't know about you, but that makes me real happy today. It's your breath in my lungs. You're the one I lay back on and relax on. I'm thankful that when I do, you're there to get me. And then when I'm falling, you're there to catch me. That makes me real happy. See, it's all about what you want to do. It's up to you. You put your own self in a state of emotional condition by what you think. If you know what God's word says about you, you do exactly what it says. It says the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is what helps me. And so when he says, surely blessings I will bless thee and multiply and I will multiply thee, he had a little lapse in that understanding and did what he did. But God still kept his promise. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. How many see that? Very important. The next verse says, verse 16, for men verily swear by the greater. And an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. So words meant things back then. Words really meant things. And you make a vow, you vow a vow, they meant things to you. Remember we talked about that in our Bible study. When the vow was made that, Lord, if you give me authority over my enemies, the first thing come out to meet me, I must give to you. He kept his word. They meant things. Well, let me tell you, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them the end of all strife, wherein Elohim, willing more abundantly to show unto you, unto the heirs of promise, the immutability. That means the unchangeableness. But we're talking about change. What are we dealing with? Change. Change is coming. It said that if the priesthood changed, the commandments have to change also. That's what we left off with. We got to look at that. We got to see what that means. He says, wherein Elohim willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. The immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for Elohim to lie. If he said it, it's going to be impossible for him to lie. We might have a strong consolation. If it's impossible for Elohim to lie, we ought to have a strong consolation. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. So, even though you're running this race, you might get fatigued. As a matter of fact, not a might, you will. You're going to get tired. There are going to be days you don't feel like going. But that's okay. Even in that weakest part of your life, God's able to keep you. But he don't want us to lose sight that what's before us. He says, for who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. If you obtain it, then what is there to hope for? We didn't obtain it. We're hoping for it. Well, Abraham was hoping for it and hoping for it and hoping, and it wasn't happening. Between him and his wife, Sarah, they couldn't come to agree that it was going to happen. So she said, why don't you take Hagar? Abraham said, well, maybe that's what the Lord wants. See, we start giving words to God. We start adding into the vision God has. Well, maybe that's what God wants. Well, after all, we just want to follow the Lord. What are we going and do that? Well, the whole time, you don't think God sees what's going on? And he could have come at any moment and stopped it. Matter of fact, he didn't even have to bless the fact that they had relation and then had a son. He didn't have to bless that. That could have never happened. But God's reason is happening is because he wants us to see. There's two covenants. Let's never forget that there are two covenants. One's an older covenant. It's the initial covenant. But in it, there's provision. That's what I'm going to show you today. There's provision in that covenant to bring to pass the new covenant. That provision under the priesthood is something that we have to really see. Because he says, if the priesthood changes, which it did, now we're dealing with Genesis 14. Is there a Mount Sinai experience yet? No. Where is Levi at right now? In the loins of his father. That's where he's at. He ain't even born yet. We got time, got to go on. But God's trying to let us know, while he's in the loins of his father, I'm already instituting the order of Melchizedek. Now we're going to have the order of Aaron that takes precedent as it comes on the scene. But the order of Melchizedek was first. Because when Abraham came after he defeated his enemy, he took the spoils, he met Melchizedek in the field, and he paid a tithe to him. So here's where we have this. Now verse 19, which hope we have set as an anchor. Let me tell you something. If you lose hope, your anchor has pulled, and you're drifting without direction. Succumb to the winds and the waves and the tides, and no telling where you're going to wind up. That is not a good position to be in. And that's what happens. people to go and start going to church. And me and Josh, I was just milling over this earlier today. And I told him, because it's bothering me. It bothered me all day yesterday, too. I don't understand what's happening in the lives of people. You can tell them how incredible God is, how good God is. And for some reason, they're going after what? What are you going after? It's like you step out and your life's worse. It's like you love worse. I don't understand that. You got no hope. But when you get in Him, you might not have everything you want, but you have hope. There's hope in that. You got an anchor. You're anchored down. And you listen, as long as you're anchored, help's coming. He knows your name. He knows your location. Some of you are in your bedroom at night and you're weeping before the Lord. He knows exactly where you are. But if you're drifting, if you're going with the winds and the currents and the tides because your anchor's pulled, because you lost hope, that's a terrible place to be. I want to tell you, you have to maintain that hope in the Lord, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. How many of you ever had an anchor? All you fishermen in here, I'm sure there's been a time in your life, it happens to me all the time. I'll set my anchor out in a certain place and it just didn't set right. Just didn't do it. And as many times as it may have set right, this particular time, it didn't set. What happens? You don't intend for that to happen, but what happens when it don't set right? You drift out the spot. And what do you got to do? You got to put yourself back in the spot. There's something you have. When you drift out, you got to put yourself back in that spot. And God gives us the tools and the understanding on how to get that done, but let's never forget, you got to do it. Folks want change in their life. Well, you got to do something about it. Remember, He didn't drift from you. You drifted. So you know what I have to do? As much as I get frustrated about it, I'm on the fish, I'm there, I'm right, I'm where I want to be. I mean, we just had a double hookup, and now I look, I'm like, what's happening? We done drifted out. I said, oh, man, I got to crank the engine. I got to drive and get us back in that spot. And the whole time I'm thinking, you know what? I don't want to scare the fish. They just started. But listen, it didn't set. I drifted out. I can sit back and say, well, I ain't doing nothing. I'm not doing nothing. And that's what folks will do. They'll sit back and them fish better come to me. Keep believing that. You keep on believing that. There's something you have to do. You have to take an initiative. You got to realize it may not be something that you purposefully wanted to do, but it happens. It happens, and sometimes you drift out of position. Sometimes you get off course a little bit. You got to get yourself back on course and do what God wants you to do. So He says, both sure, steadfast, which entered into that within the veil. Now watch verse 20. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Yeshua, what made a high priest. What? Can somebody help me with that word made? Made a high priest. Forever after the order of Melchizedek. How many see that? He's made a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. What's the high priest's office? That's the one who communicates to Yahweh on our behalf. He does the duties. He don't do the courtyard duties. The priest does that. But he's the one that goes in and puts it all on the line. Everything's put on the line. He knows when he goes in, he got to have it right. Or he's a dead man. The high priest is the one that goes in before the holies of holies, before Yahweh in that presence. That's the one. Well, let me tell you what happened. We have a change in location. Where's the Torah now? Not in temples and tabernacles, but where? On the fleshly tables of our heart. There's a change in location. Who's the mediator? Yeshua. How many see we got to have all these things working in us? You want to be successful serving God? You got to understand the word. The truth has got to become real to you. Number two, you got to have somebody who's helping you. That's Yeshua. He's our mediator. Number three, you need a high priest. Let me understand, we need a high priest. I'm so thankful we have one who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. He knows what's happening. Why? Because he faced all the trouble that you think you're the only one facing. When he stepped into the office to get ready to do the ministry God had called him to do, he was mikvahed first. He met John and was baptized. Immediately after that, he was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days. How many understand that? He'd been through it. Every lie, every deception, every kind of crisis you can think of, it was brought before him and he was tempted and all of those things. And he came out of that realizing that I'm going to serve God and him only will I serve. And he understood that. So he understands how to understand me. And he knows how to understand God because his relationship to God is koinonia. Let me understand that. You can't teach intimacy if you have never been intimate. You're guessing. You're just guessing, making up stuff as you go. It sounds good. It may be a great idea, but you don't understand it. You can't teach intimacy until you've been intimate. What is he teaching us? Intimacy. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. Covered some of this last night. I'm going to go back over it because I want to, I'm going deeper in this because I want to show you what he's talking about here. Number one, for this Melchizedek, you don't talk about him now. Because let me tell you, if you don't read Hebrews, you won't get a whole lot of information about Melchizedek. He's going to tell us some stuff about him. We know he showed up on, all of a sudden, he's nowhere. He shows up off the battlefield and meets Abraham and he pays him a tenth. Then he goes away. Then he comes back under this new covenant and he's brought to light on what some of the things happened. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem. Notice that. King of Salem. So is he we're talking about priest, but he calls him a king here. Because now, for the first time, we have this merge happening between these two offices. Under the old covenant, they would never merge. Under the old covenant, once the Mount Sinai, the commandments came, the Levitical priesthood was set up, a Levite couldn't be king. They were the priests. So those two offices were separated. The king did the king's duty, the priest did the priest's duty. Anytime they tried to marry them two together, there was trouble. Because God wouldn't allow it because he'd already set in order Melchizedek. It was to come later, but it was already set in order. Before the Mount Sinai experience, Genesis 14, we look at that with Abraham in that encounter. So he's king of Salem. Then he goes on, says Melchizedek is priest of the Most High Elohim. So he's king of peace. That word Salem is peace. We get it from Psalm. King of Salem, king of peace. And now he's priest unto the Most High Elohim. That means he's a high priest. So he's both of the offices at the same time. He's both king and priest. Who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Verse 2. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. If the patriarch Abraham knows this guy is legit. How did we know that? He gave him a tenth part of all. No questions asked. Here's the king and the high priest. He gets a tenth part of everything. Isn't that amazing? First being by interpretation, king of righteousness. Now, I told you it's made up of two words. Melech, king, and Zedek, Melchizedek, or Melchizedek. Melchizedek is righteousness. So I want you to understand that the literal term, the first interpretation of Melchizedek, is king of righteousness. How amazing is that? How many know we're going to have a king of righteousness return? And he's going to set up the throne. It's absolutely incredible. When you look at it and you see all these things just merging together. King of righteousness. And after that also king of Salem, king of peace. Which is, and he tells us, king of peace. without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of Elohim, abideth a priest continually. And when we see that, it's talking about Melchizedek here, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. Then all of a sudden, we got the mind starts running on you. And here's where it comes in and says, well, this Melchizedek, we don't know where he's from, or anything like that. He's just, maybe he's pre-existing. Always existed. And if he always existed, he just comes and goes. Then Messiah is the same. But then we not only have a Messiah who pre-exists, he also is the high priest. He's God, so he's the high priest of himself. You see how all that just kind of goes and goes and goes and goes. Well, what if we just take the scripture for what it says? You know what it says? Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, meaning we don't know where he's from. Don't tell us. You say, well, is there anybody else? Well, look at Sarah. Look at the life of Sarah. The same Sarah we're dealing with. It's the same thing about her. Without father, without mother, without descent. She's there. We don't have a list of that. So there's things we aren't going to know. So keep that in mind when you study it. He bideth the priest forever. Verse number 4. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of his spoils. So we're looking at somebody who's great. Well, look at Micah chapter number 5, verse 1. Micah 5, verse number 1. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughters of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judges of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, speaking of Messiah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. Well, we got Melchizedek without the beginning and without the end. And then we got him speaking of Messiah here, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting, Olam. So these are the scripture that are taken to say, well, he was always there, and then he just, God became a man. And then there we go. Well, this lesson's not about that, but it introduces that, so I'm going to talk about it just for a little bit. Well, when that happens, then how is it that he becomes a high priest to the Most High? I'm just giving you some of the problematic areas. That's a problem. Melchizedek is like the Son of God. Yeshua is the Son of God. How many see that? So I hope that you take some time to look at this. Don't be afraid of these verses. They perfectly harmonize with the rest of Scripture. Whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. Let me tell you, the plan that God had instituted from the very beginning of time is still the same plan. He don't have to change that plan. So his whole plan was to bring about change. The change of the priesthood was always in the plan of God. So he made a provision for it up in, before the Torah. He made that provision to make sure that change would have a platform in which to step. And here we go. We're making that step. Now consider how great this man was. In verse 4, we covered that. Verse 5, verily, they that are of the sons of Levi who received the office of priesthood have commandments to take the tithe of the people, and it goes on and talks about all of those things, and we covered some of that last night. I want to move on and go down to verse 11. Therefore, perfection were by the Levitical priesthood. Notice that term. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, under it the people received the law, what further need was there for another priest? If perfection was underneath that one, what further need was there for another priest? Which had already been, who paid a tithe to Abram. Remember that? After the slaughter of the kings. But then went away. But it was holding there. The provision was made. So what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? Verse 12, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. And so I covered the scripture that folks will use. Well, here we go. We got some problems because Yeshua says in Matthew, not one dot or tittle shall in no wise, you know, be changed. And then in Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 2, it talks about you shall not add to the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of Yahweh, your Elohim. And I want to point out something on that. So go to that next Deuteronomy 4 slide. I want to point out something. I highlight it just so you'll see it. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse, you shall not. God can do what he wants. That's just sometimes a little oversight. He said, you can't change it, but I can do what I want. Some people say, well, that ain't so, because the Bible says the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. He won't change. He don't change in the sense that he's different, but he institutes the next best thing that we need in order to bring about the hope. And that what he institutes is not something that just is kind of runs you over like a truck. It's already been provided for when Abraham met Melchizedek. It goes off the scene, but then he comes back on, and he says he's going to not be after the order of Aaron. There's a reason for that. How many want to know there's a reason why God had to do that? Not because he messed up. Remember Hebrews 7:12, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. Wow, that could be problematic. Well, let's look at why this has to happen. There's a reason for it. Now, Aaron is selected, his family, the Levites, they're going to be the most high, so it'll be his children. It'll go down that tight. It has to be that tight, and it's going to be that family heir that's going to be the high priest, and they're going to go on until it's over. Go to Exodus 32, verse number 1, and we're going to look at this. If we can get through this today, we'll be in good shape, and we'll have a stopping point, and we'll get started again next time. Okay, Exodus 32, verse number 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron. And they said unto him. So who they're in conversation with? Not Moses, not God, but Aaron. Where's Moses? He's on the mountain. Where's Joshua? He's up there too. Who's the high priest? Aaron. He's in charge. So the people go to Aaron. They didn't go to somebody else. They went to Aaron. They're speaking to Aaron. Up. This is what their comment is. Up. Make us mighty ones. Make us Elohims. Make us Elohim. Make us mighty ones which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we would not, what has become of him? We don't know what happened to him. He's been gone. He's gone for a while. How many days is he going to be gone for? 40. Keep that in mind. How many days was Christ in the wilderness? 40. Keep that in mind. How many days the rain poured down? 40. Why is that important? Very significant. Very important. Because after 40 years, in the Talmud, it says all the temple's things begin to change. When they reached the hand into the lot to bring out the line, it didn't fall in the right no more. It went to the left. When the scarlet was put there on the door, it didn't change to white. And everything stayed. The doors would be closed. They would open by themselves. The light would stay lit. Now it goes out, the most western light. All these things changed. Because there was a change in the priesthood coming. And little by he was letting them know. And 40 in the Bible always represents change. This will go deeper than you think if you just remember these things that I'm saying to you. 40 represents change. The whole world was changing after 40 days of torrential rains and an outpouring from the waters from the heavens. It changed. When Christ came out of the wilderness being tempted, there was change. What happened? He stepped into his ministry. Miracles started happening. Change after 40. After 40 years, after the temple and the 40-year change, there was change happening. How many of you know that's significant? So keep that in mind. Moses is up on the mountain. He comes back down after being up there 40 days. What he comes back down with? Torah. Change happens. Make us mighty ones. For this Moses, we don't know what's become of him. In verse number 2, and Aaron said unto them, who said? Aaron. Keep that in mind. Break off the golden earrings which are in your ears and of your wives and of your sons and your daughters and bring them unto me. Unto me. He's the high priest. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. He's got them. And who received it? And he, Aaron, received them at their hand. Notice this. Who is he? The high priest to the Most High. And fashioned it. Did somebody else fashion it? And fashioned it with graven tools. Who did that? Aaron. After he had made it a molten calf. Aaron. And they said, these be thy mighty ones, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, what did he do? What does altars represent? Altar represents it's time to worship. That's what an altar represents. It's a place of worship. Who built the altar to this golden image? Who built the golden image? Who is he? He's the high priest to the Most High. Can somebody kind of see now why there's a change in the high priest? He built the altar before, and Aaron made a proclamation. Can he make proclamations? Well, of course. He's the high priest of the Most High. That's what they do. They make proclamation. And he said, and I'm quoting him, tomorrow is a feast to Yahweh. Oh, boy. What is the people going to believe if the high priest says, tomorrow's a feast to Yahweh? The people going to go, the high priest said it. He's our closest connection to Yahweh. Where were the mediators at? The mediator was on the mountain. The high priest was in his office. He was doing office, his officely duties. That's what he was doing. And the high priest built the altar. What does the people get ready? They're getting ready to, hey, it's time to worship. We got this gold, molten image, this golden calf who he built. He designed it with his own hands. And then he makes a proclamation and he says, tomorrow we're going to have a feast to Yahweh. Notice that. They don't mind throwing Yahweh's name around just like today. People don't mind putting Yahweh's name on anything or Jesus on anything, but they want to worship it their way. And I don't need to go down that whole road again here at this church. But some things you can't worship God the way you want. You can put his name on it, but that don't make it right. That's your proclamation. I'm convinced that there's a change in the priesthood. And that's why it happens. And I want you to notice this. And they rose up early in the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. They got intoxicated with this type of worship. And that's exactly what happens in the world. You become intoxicated with that type of worship. It'll get on you, in you, and it's hard to get off of you. Hence, the difficulty we've had over the last few years. Some, it's been so difficult, they drifted. The anchor pulled, because they lose hope. And you got to stay in the hope. You got to, listen, you think it's going to be easy? It's not going to be easy. Nobody wants to wait. But when you put patiently wait, you're going to endure the promise. You're going to get it. But some have drifted. Notice what it says in verse 7. And Yahweh said to Moses, go get down, for thy people, which thou brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. Now, I don't know about you. If Yahweh calls it corruption, that's probably what I'm going to lean to. We have been corrupted. We have participated in that corruption. Thank God for His Word. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for Your Word. Because I want to know Him. I want to be intimate with Him. And He won't let that happen. Notice what He says. Your people, you brought them up. They corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molted calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed unto them and said, these be the mighty ones, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Notice that. That's a big change. All of a sudden, we start identifying our blessing with our participation in what we call worship or our church attendance. We call that, well, I'm being blessed because I'm doing good. And that's what happens. But there's no worship to God. And Yahweh said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. I'm glad we don't have nobody like that on this peninsula. That would be tough. Verse 10, now therefore let me alone that my wrath may wax hot against them and I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Get rid of them and start over. Notice that God's not, He's not throwing His hands up and saying, well, it's over. He said, I'll get rid of them and I'll make of thee a great nation. Now He wants to use these people. How many know God wants you great? God wants the people on this peninsula great. God wants you healed. God wants you blessed. God wants you doing what He called you to do. But He's not going to sit around if you and I can't make our mind up. He said, I'll make a great nation. Verse 11, and Moses besought Yahweh, his Elohim, and said, Yahweh, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power, with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did He bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swear by thine own self. What is he talking about? I just read that to you in Hebrews, when he could swear by no higher power. He swore by himself. What does this mediator do? He reminds him. Remember what you said. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, whom thou swear by thy own self, and said unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven. And all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. How long? What's the inheritance for? Forever. Remember, it's a land deal. That's why the kingdom of God, we ought to preach it three times on Sunday. It's important. This kingdom of God is necessary for us to understand. We're going to have a king who's going to sit on the throne of David, and he's going to rule and reign. And not only is he our king, but he's our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. How many understand that he's going to hold both of those offices at the same time? It's absolutely incredible. And Yahweh repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. And Moses turned. How many of you know that when Yeshua goes before the Father on our behalf, instead of us getting the full punishment of what we should get for what we've done, this is exactly what happens for us. Thank God for our mediator change. Amen. And Yahweh repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mountain And the two tablets of the testimony was in his hand, and the tables were written on both their sides, on one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the works of Elohim, and the writing was the writing of Elohim graven upon the tablets. I mean, see that. And when Joshua heard, notice this. Now, this is it. I know we don't think this is significant, but later on you will. Joshua heard. He was just a little farther down. Didn't go all the way up. But how many of you know Joshua was one? He was just in training. Just in training. Not doing a whole lot, but whatever he did it with a right spirit. Hallelujah. That's what God's looking for. Maybe not doing a whole lot, but do it with the right spirit, the right attitude. I'm going to tell you, we got Joshua's in training right now. You don't know it, but God, listen, you're in training. You're right and ready. Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, and he said to Moses, "There is a noise of war in the camp." And he said, "It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear." They're going all out for this, whatever's down there. They got their heart committed to it. They're singing hallelujah to something. And it came to pass as soon as they came nigh into the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot and cast the tablets out of his hand and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire, ground it to powder and strawed it in upon the water and made the children of Israel drink it. And Moses said unto Aaron, notice this. This is what he said to Aaron. What did this people unto thee, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? That's how important the priest is. The high priest's office. He said, what did they do that you brought this sin upon them? Because what you do is a direct correlation to the people and what they receive. And you are the one that took the earring. You told them, bring it to me. You carved it. You designed it. You made the proclamation. That high priest, that's why God rejected it. The Messiah won't come after that order. How many of you know that Moses nor Aaron made it into the promised land? Don't mean they won't have a chance in the resurrection, but they didn't make it in the promised land. There's a reason why God rejected them. And Aaron said, let not the anger of my sovereign wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us mighty ones, which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, would not, what has become of him? And he said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let him break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. It wasn't kind of like that. I mean, he left out some stuff here. He left out the part that he carved it. You know, like it just bounced out. That's sort of how we tell a story after we get caught. Right? We got that, I don't know what happened. I was just going down the road and bam, I hit that. You know, just kind of was there. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. He had stripped them. He had put them in a position that they were made naked unto their shame among their enemy. Do you understand? That's when you're most vulnerable. That's when you're in a condition where you could get your life. It's terrible. And let me tell you, I believe a lot of people is in this position. That's why we want to say the truth to them. As a lot of people being told, whatever, just come to church and give me money, and you give me money, everything's going to be fine in your life. You're making them naked before their enemies. Send me more. It's a terrible thing that's happening in the church world today. It's terrible. You know what's going to help you and I? The truth. Us coming to realize the truth. I said last service to you, last Sunday I believe it was, that what we ought to be doing is just having a sit down with people. People you love, you care about, say, listen, here's why you're going through what you're going through. This is the reason behind it. You made bad decisions. It's okay to talk. You made bad decisions, but we want to help you make good decisions. You got to start. You got to serve the Lord. You got to put your heart in it. You got to make a commitment to Him. Make a commitment to Him. And when you do that, it's something about it that changes. The priest is the one who helps with the intimacy between Elohim and his people because he is the one who teaches Torah, Yahweh's likes and dislikes. The priest. He's the one. So what Aaron did, he was the one that caused this intimacy opposing what Yahweh wants. Go to that other slide. What I told you was seven, one of those, but he'll take a minute to go to it, but I should have copied it, duplicated it, and put it right here. But while we were singing, it came back to my mind, this slide. And I want you to, in a marriage, if you don't communicate, that word koinonia means intimacy. It means intimacy. If you don't have no intimacy, you will end up divorced. With no intimacy. How many know that the priest's position was he was the one who helped with the intimacy between the people and God. He taught the Torah, telling them, this is what God likes. So what are you going to do? You're going to do what God likes. That makes intimacy. You're going to say, this is what God dislikes. What are you going to do? You're going to quit doing that. Intimacy. No relationship can survive without intimacy. No relationship can survive without intimacy. That's why Yahweh gives us Torah to make sure we are intimate with us. Who was the one who was commanded to institute Torah and train and teach? The high priest, Aaron. So he took that office and he used it for his own benefit. He said, you know the people, they're up to no good. They're always up to no good. You know them. So I had no choice. I took the I threw it in the fire, and bam. There's the calf. You understand? This is his thoughts. That's why God has to reject that. So, change is coming. How many understand that? Change, go back in our regular part. Change is coming. How many know change is necessary? Change is coming. I'm going to stop. There, let me just introduce this, and then that'll be a good spot to stop. Luke 1, verse 5. Luke 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah, of the course of Abiah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. Now, they're going to have a son. His name will be John. Zechariah was born from the tribe of Levites, Aaron, of the course of Abiah. So he has Aaron in him. His wife, and it tells us, he's just letting us know, that this son they're going to have, he's going to be a high priest. And this is some things that you don't hear a lot of teaching on when it comes to John. Because John was a little out there. I don't know if I've ever heard a message preached where they called him a high priest. But the high priest, he was. His wife, Elizabeth, was the daughters of Aaron. They have a son named John. He's a high priest to the Most High. But he's doing things different. This John. This John is bringing about the change. This John is going to be the forerunner. This is going to be the one who will baptize mikveh He mikvahed Yeshua before he was led into the wilderness. This John was the one who was saying, hey, we've drifted. The anchor's pulled. Nobody liked John. John didn't fit everybody's, we shouldn't say those things to no one. It's tough. I mean, we live in a society today. I'm not sure Mr. Gene won't mind me telling this story. He done told me like 3 times, so I'm going to tell it. He says, probably you use us for messages sometime. But his story means a lot. It fits right here because the society is in a mess. He said he went out to visit his daughter, Mary Linda, and they all out in the yard, and neighbors are out, and the dog's barking, you know. In Oak Ridge, the dog's just yapping away. You just lean out and go, shut up! Well, Gene did that. Sounds just like him, don't it? So the dog just, yah, rah, rah, and he goes, shut up! He said, shut up. We don't say that here. Gene's like, you what? What do you mean you won't say that? See, you live in a different world. You can't raise your voice. You can't get on to nobody because everybody's real sensitive now. You got to bring in teddy bears if you lose the election and have counselors come and sit with folks. And if everybody lose the game, you got to give them a trophy too. Like a losing trophy. That'll help them. Because everybody's sensitive. Everybody was getting real sensitive under the Aaronic priest. And John come along from Aaron. There ain't nobody was more pure than he was. He was the next in line. After Zechariah came John, his son. What was Zechariah? High priest. John walks in and goes, you can't do that. Herod, you can't have your brother's wife. That's wrong. All the rest of them are doing temple service, making sacrifices, doing all that stuff. And John's out there eating honey and locusts, dressed like a wild man. And they said, you got to watch that John. He's a little off. You know, we don't know what happened, but all the lights came on, and something going on with John. And John just kept preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God's at hand. It's here. It's here. Repent. You got to change. You got to change what you're doing. John was the one who says, you don't give me your gold. Today, give me your gold. Send me. Put your hand on the TV. I feel it right now. Send me your gold. John saying, don't send me your gold. Keep your gold. You got to repent. I'm not making you no golden calf. You're not going to blame that on me. Change is coming. And then one day, John looks up and said, there he is. The one whose shoes I'm not worthy to loose. But I got to read it to you because I want to show you what he says. And there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. They came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bear witness, the one he said, that's him, behold, the same baptized, and all men came to him. Notice this, very important. John answered and said, a man came receiving nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Messiah. I am not the Messiah. I might be a high priest, but let's not forget, I am not the Messiah, but that I am sent before him. I am sent before him. Now notice this. And he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Notice John. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because the bride of the bridegroom's voice. He said, I'm not the bridegroom, but I'm the friend of the bridegroom. And when I heard him speak, I rejoiced because he's here. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. Now watch 30. You ready for this? He must increase, but I must decrease. The change is here. The change is here. John said the Aaronic priesthood must decrease. But the priest of Melchizedek must. How many see that? That's what he said that for. He says, I'm going out and he's coming in. The shift, the change has come. It's come. The Aaronic priesthood is over. It's done. We need no one to make a sacrifice because the one, the Lamb of God that's been slain is here. What did he say? Behold, the Lamb of God was just slain before the foundations of the world. Notice those terms. All these are meaning things. Before the foundations, you mean that we believe that he was suspended somewhere, crucified somewhere in the sky? No, but it was done in God's perfect plan set in motion. So my prayer today is that you see this. See this change. And we're going to continue down this same path. But this is a good spot for us to stop. This is a spot where you can go home, you can think about that. John said, he must increase. Talking about Yeshua. He must increase. But I must decrease. My time is about done. I came, but notice what that was a change in this Aaronic priest. He was trying to tell people, you got to get back to the Lord. You got to get back to the Lord. Notice that. But Aaron himself, he obeyed the people. And that's why there was a change in that priesthood. Thank God for his word. If we really want to search out his word, take some time to go back and read it over and over and over. And then ask God, reveal it to me. Let me see it. Let me see it for what you want me to see. A lot of people say a lot of things. Well, Lord, I want to be able to see what you say. And there it is. So many times we might have read this and we might have said, what does he mean? He must increase and I must decrease. What does John mean there? The one priesthood is going away. The other's coming on the scene. Coming on the scene. Remember his disciples said, the one that you baptized, the one that you said is him, he's gone off. There's this separation. He's doing stuff different than we're doing, John. John said, that's okay. I'm not the bridegroom. I never told you I was Messiah. He's Messiah. And we're so happy. And so I hope that you see this today. I hope that it's ministered to your life. I hope that it's challenged you, that we can't be dragging around our anchor. We've got to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the Word, allowing God's Word to become real to us. That's my prayer today. My prayer is that people will make some decisions. Serve the Lord. Get in this thing. Get involved. Get involved in it. Get happy. Get excited about serving God. You can. You can. I'm so busy. Listen, I write a new definition on busy. Busy, what does that have to do with relationships? You can be busy, but you got to have a solid relationship with the Lord. God wants to be with you wherever you're busy at anyway. What does that change? That don't change anything. I'm too busy. I'm so busy, I ain't got time to do anything when it comes to the Lord. Listen, God's involved in everything you do. He's constantly meditating on his goodness. You could be doing whatever, working, whatever you're doing. He's there. He wants the best for you. So my prayer is that helps you, that you'll be challenged in that. Let's stand together. If there's anyone here today that needs prayer for anything, maybe you're drifting. Maybe you say, you know what, I haven't really made a commitment. I want